So, despite the model scoring well on benchmarks, reactions have been somewhat mixed. It does clearly demonstrate its state-of-the-art performance, but it did not decisively blow any other models out of the water. And depending on the task and the implementation, there are still going to be instances where other models are going to perform better. But competition is a good thing for this industry. So, anytime we have a model that pushes everyone else forward, whether it's XAI or OpenAI or Anthropic, I think that's good news. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, we are back with another Daily Digest episode today. First, we're going to be talking about the initial reaction to xAI's Grok 3. It started to roll out last night, and we mentioned it in yesterday's episode. So if you are an xAI user, you should be seeing the Grok 3 beta in your model selection. I am seeing it in my xAI instance, so hopefully you are too. I also need to do a little bit of a self-correction. I believe yesterday I said that the training that took place on Grok 3 was on a supercluster of computers that had 100,000 NVIDIA GPUs. It was actually 200,000 NVIDIA GPUs, which resulted in apparently this model being trained on 10 times the compute data of Grok 2. So let's take a look at what the model is actually able to do according to the benchmarks. It has performed very well on several benchmarks, outperforming models like GPT-4 in some instances, Gemini's 2.0 Pro, DeepSeek, Claude 3.5 Sonnet. So it's very much established itself as a capable model, which was something we were definitely waiting to see last night, particularly in the chatbot leaderboard, the LMSYS leaderboard, which we have mentioned a few times on the show before. The model was able to rank quite well in categories like creative writing and coding and math, as well as complex prompts and complex instruction following. For instance, compared to Gemini 2 Pro's 1,372 score on the coding portion of the LMSYS leaderboard, Grok 3 scored 1,399, so not a huge leap or not a huge gap between the two, but still a very capable leap forwards for xAI and Grok 3. A couple other benchmark scores for you on the AIME 2024, which I believe is a mathematical benchmark. Grok 3 scored 52%, on the science benchmark 75%, and 57% in a live coding benchmark. On top of that, the new model also includes a new feature called Deep Search, which looks to follow in the steps of the other models, Deep Research or Deep Reasoning agents that we've covered, like DeepSeek R1, then of course the Deep Research feature from OpenAI, and the recent Deep Research feature from Perplexity that we also talked about on this show. So this Deep Search is going to allow the model to quickly compile accurate information from the web using its reasoning capabilities. So despite the model scoring well on benchmarks, reactions have been somewhat mixed. It does clearly demonstrate its state-of-the-art performance, but it did not decisively blow any other models out of the water. And depending on the task and the implementation, there are still going to be instances where other models are going to perform better. But competition is a good thing for this industry. So anytime we have a model that pushes everyone else forward, whether it's xAI or OpenAI or Anthropic, I think that's good news. Okay, moving on to some surprising-ish news, at least to me initially, although when you think about it, not all that surprising because it really had to happen at some point. And this is the news about the New York Times officially announcing the integration of AI into their newsroom operations. So up until this point, the relationship between newsrooms and AI has been mostly contentious and mostly litigious, with the New York Times themselves being still embroiled in legal battles with OpenAI. But the writing is kind of on the wall for the use of these tools and the advantages that they can give human workers. So the New York Times has started to embrace this technology to help their journalists create content. They have a range of AI tools that they're going to be using. So let's go through some of them here. First up, GitHub's Copilot will be used for coding tasks. You have Google's Vertex AI Studio and even OpenAI's non-ChatGPT API. Although it looks like you would need distinct approval from the legal department on this one, apparently. Not all that surprising given everything that they have going on with OpenAI. In addition to those tools, they also have something called Echo, which is an in-house AI tool that they've designed to help summarize articles and internal materials to help journalists quickly and efficiently do their research and analysis. The next one on here is one that we're all very familiar with if you've been listening to the show, Notebook LLM, and another tool called Chat Explorer, a tool that helps to chat and explore archives of information. Now, these tools are very specifically not supposed to be used to actually write content or articles. They have some very specific things that these tools are approved for, like generating SEO headlines or drafting summaries or writing promotions, suggesting potential edits, or a brainstorming tool or a brainstorming partner, document and image analysis, or in addition to all those, develop quizzes or social copy or FAQs. So nothing that involves the drafting or significant revision of articles. Additionally, AI tools cannot be used to bypass certain paywalls, so no use of copyrighted material. Obviously, that's going to be a pretty key point for the New York Times, who is currently suing OpenAI for using copyrighted material to train their models. And I think one of the more resistant to AI industries, that being journalism and news, has started to soften a little bit. And you have to wonder how long and if we're going to arrive at a place where we remove all human bias from news and news is simply aggregated by web agents. But for now, the New York Times is going to augment, not automate, as we recently talked about in the episode about Anthropic's economic index. So the relationship between news and AI is going to continue to evolve and be very fluid right here. Okay, and lastly, on our Daily Digest episode today, OpenAI has recently released some techniques for effectively prompting their reasoning model. Their reasoning models, particularly the O series of models, the ones designed to handle those complex reasoning tasks across mathematics and engineering and coding. Like we've talked about before on this show, these models require a little bit different type of prompting, more straightforward, more simple. They can be easily overwhelmed and often start to overthink their responses. So OpenAI is trying to help us by releasing these guidelines. Here are the key principles of this prompting guide. One, that's simplicity and directness. Avoid complex step-by-step guidance. You can use delimiters to help the model understand or read your text, so markdowns or XML tags, section titles. Also, try zero-shotting your prompts. And this is where, without providing specific examples, you let the model try and solve your query, solve your problem, or complete your task in one try. So oftentimes, when people are prompting these models, whether it's for a coding application or something like that, and the model successfully generates a good output on the first try without having to go back and forth and provide examples, people will say they have zero-shotted that prompt. So try that. Try not to constrain the model with a bunch of examples and really only go back and forth with the model as needed. Also, provide a clear criteria for success, so specific guidelines and constraints for the desired output. Don't be afraid to ask the model to keep reasoning and keep working until it meets those criteria. But if I had to pick one thing for you to take away from these prompting guidelines, it's not to use those overly detailed, overly complex prompts. Keep the prompts simple, try to zero shot them, and use clear and give a clear definition of success. Okay, that does it for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated. It is by far the most helpful thing you could do for the show. Also, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button and turn on all notifications so you get notified each day when our episode drops. Until then, and as always, thank you so much for joining me. And remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.